Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Math Academics. Today, we have a very special guest. We are here with Sabrina Timperman. Please say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, and today we're just going to get to know her a little bit more, get down to the nitty-gritty of Sabrina. So can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
So I am a native New Yorker. I grew up on Long Island. I went to undergraduate on Staten Island at Wagner College. When I graduated with a bio degree. I had my heart set on going to vet school, so I did some of my prerequisites, and I applied, and I was lucky enough to get into LSU, so Louisiana State University, where I then went and completed my DVM. I've been a practicing veterinarian. I worked a lot with exotic animals in school. So I really was very interested in raptors and birds of prey, wildlife. I worked at a small animal clinic when I came back to New York after school. And then I started at Mercy about a little while ago. And I've been at Mercy for a pretty long time, and I love it here. I teach, obviously, in the vet tech program. I am lucky enough to be one of four faculty. I work with amazing other ladies, and I love our department. I love our students. I find this job very fulfilling and rewarding.
Very nice. What made you get into veterinary technology?
I always had an interest in animals, but it was mainly, I know I didn't want to do small animal. I really was very interested in wildlife. So I volunteered at the Staten Island Zoo. I was a docent for many years. I had some exotic animals. I have right now a leopard tortoise who has her own room, Noodle. She's big. She's about the size of a small dinner plate. So I love exotic animals. I especially love raptors, and I loved working with them. When I went to school, I didn't initially go with that intent, but they had a raptor center at school. I like to get involved, so I like to do things. So they had a sign up on the wall that was learn how to handle raptors, and that was all I needed. I joined, and I actually became the president of the Raptor Club. I worked at the Wildlife Exotic Hospital at LSU while I was in school. And again, I really love, again, that wild animals and looking and helping them. We did a lot of rehab when we were there. So a lot of animals came in hurt and injured, and we would spend months of time rehabilitating them. And it was so rewarding to then go and release them back into the wild. I love veterinary medicine. I love helping animals. And now I get to help animals, and I also get to work with students, which I love. So
that's very cool, getting to help them get back on their feet. So how long have you been teaching?
So I've been teaching 15 years.
Very nice. What prompted you into teaching? What made you say, hey, I want to teach people and help these animals at the same time?
Well, I always found, even when I was younger, I sort of had a teaching inclination, but I love sharing information. I love seeing that light bulb go on when a student suddenly gets it. To be honest, high school was hard for me. I struggled a little bit in high school, and I think, you know, we all in different periods of our lives struggle at points. And I had a teacher who was very instrumental in helping me deal with sort of those teenage sort of crises. He really, really gave me a new direction in life. And I felt being a teacher, I really wanted to give back in that way. I love helping animals. I love making them well and making them healthy again. But something about teaching to help the next generation, to show them things that I had learned and to see that light bulb go on. And when they get excited and, you know, I love it when they come in and I have students text me who say, you know, oh my God, I saw this in the clinic. We just talked about it yesterday. I don't personally have kids, but I feel like my students are my collection of young people that I have in my life, and they give my life meaning. So I find teaching to fill that need for me. And it's, again, I love it. I enjoy being a teacher. I enjoy being a vet. You know, it takes a long time sometimes to find where you feel good. One of the things I try and relay to my students is keep going, get back up, keep going. You'll eventually, things will get better. You'll find a place where you feel at ease and where you feel at home and where you feel confident. You just have to keep on plugging away. And I find that very rewarding to see students who are in a position that I was and to help them sort of get through that and really do something and be who they are.
It seems like you're giving a very homey vibe in your classroom.
I am. I'm sorry, I do.
I love it. So how did you start off at Mercy?
So I actually was, I wanted to teach. There weren't too many vet schools in the area that I could potentially teach at. So it was actually a suggestion from a colleague or a friend who said, well, have you ever thought about teaching at a vet tech school? I'm a vet. I haven't had too much teaching sort of preparation. So I was like, I don't know if they would let me do that. So I went and I actually called Mercy, called the veterinary technology program, and an amazing group of people said, well, why don't you come on down? Came to Mercy and I actually sat in on a couple of classes for a while. And gradually they were like, you want to help teach? And I sort of started teaching in the anatomy lab with a colleague, Dr. Sturz, who worked at Mercy at the time, and she was instrumental in making me feel at home and, again, bringing me into Mercy. I met a great people, and I just sort of fell in love with it. And, again, when the full-time position opened up, there aren't that many full-time positions in vet tech because when people get them, they tend to stay in them. So when the opportunity opened, I jumped at it and I applied and I have been here ever since.
Very nice. Mercy seems like it always sucks people in with the homey vibes. If you give home vibes, we also give home vibes. So what are some of the courses you do teach at Mercy?
I teach physiology. I've taught physiology for the past, I think, 13, 14 years. And I recently started teaching clinical pathology. In the past, I used to teach anatomy. But now my colleague, Dr. Clone, who is wonderful, she teaches anatomy lab, and we have an adjunct who teaches the anatomy lecture, who's also wonderful. And I teach more now the clinical pathology and helping students sort of think through cases and use their brains to kind of figure out puzzles. I personally see veterinary medicine very much sort of an animal comes in, they have signs and you have to sort of start putting the pieces together and figure out what's wrong with them to help them. So it's really, to me, showing students how to think through that process and sort of take all these pieces of information that might seem unrelated and sort of relate them and get to a diagnosis, again, is very rewarding for me. So I love that process. I love teaching them how to think. In the vet tech program, we don't want to make robots. We want to make critical thinking beings who use their skills to assess their patients and then make appropriate decisions. And then we see in the veterinary technology program, vet techs are an instrumental part of the veterinary team. And we really want to promote that. And anybody who says, oh, I'm just a tech, No. You are a tech and you are proud of it. You are instrumental. You do amazing amount of work in a vet hospital. And again, the veterinarian cannot do it without the veterinary technician and the veterinary technologist. So we really want our students to walk away feeling proud of what they do. And again, that they are just as knowledgeable and skilled as the doctor in the room.
Very nice. One small part helps the big picture. Are you currently coordinating in any extracurricular activities?
I do. I am the Vet Tech, the Future Veterinary Professionals Club advisor, and we have a very active Vet Tech club who does so many different things. So they've taken people to different zoos and aquariums. We do behind-the-scenes tours. We have lecturers come up. We just had a wonderful veterinarian who came and spoke to the Vet Tech Club yesterday, two veterinarians as well, and a veterinary technician who works at the Bronx Zoo. She worked at the Prospect Park Zoo. We have a student who also works at the Bronx Zoo. So we've had them come and speak a couple of times. They do a lot of fundraisers. They won a grant to do painting with paws. So they're actually giving out canvases, and they're having people paint with their pets. And so you can submit painting, and we're going to have an art show and sort of show and vote which paintings we think are the best. And they're going to have their picture of their animal and their painting. The Vet Tech Club actually won a grant for that. It's going to be happening later in April in Main Hall in Dobbs Ferry. So.
Ooh, congratulations. That's so fun. I have to bring my pet because that's super fun. So is Mercy College the only place that you're currently teaching at right now?
Yes, I have in the past taught at Bergen Community College, but when I accepted the full-time position at Mercy, I stopped and I started teaching strictly here.
Very nice. Can you tell us a little bit more about your work experience before you started teaching?
Before I started teaching, I actually, interestingly, was an art major, so I was actually an artist. I loved paint. I love art, and I originally actually went to the College of New Rochelle, funny enough, was an art major at the College of New Rochelle, and it wasn't till I was 2 years in that I decided that I was going to make the switch and go to more science. The reason I did, I love science, I love learning, I love getting information, but I also feel very personal about my art, and I paint for myself, and I paint what I feel and what I want. And when you go to art school, there's a lot of rules sometimes about like colors that you should do and ways that you should do it. And I was like, this is the way I wanted it. This is the way I envisioned it. This is the way it came out. So this is the way it is. And I felt very strongly that my art was for me. Again, I decided that I wanted to go more into something that was a little bit more science-based for that reason. I love veterinary medicine again, but I still do paint. Again, it's a release. Everybody should have something that they do, whether it's, you know, painting or rollerblading or, you know, something. They have something that you love that you do. Even, again, work is good, but you also have to be kind to yourself and give yourself other things in your life as well. So painting, I do as well.
Very nice. I was about to say, are we going to see some of your work in the MoMA anytime soon?
Definitely not. Not that great of faith.
Do you feel that veterinary medicine allows for you to be more free in expressing yourself?
I do. Veterinary medicine is, again, there's a lot of different personalities in veterinary medicine. And I think that's one of the things I love about it is there's a lot of diversity. There's a lot of different kinds of people, different types of people doing lots of different things. And it's really a team-based sort of profession. You can't go into a veterinary clinic and just say, I'm going to do my own thing and do it and not work as a team. So one of the things I really love about veterinary medicine is that team aspect and that, again, lots of people from lots of different walks of life and different, you know, locations have come together and they work as a team to help save a life. And that's, to me, amazing. Again, you can't do it alone. You have to work together. And that's one of the things we try and teach our students is really it's a collaborative, it's a team effort. And you are only as good as the weakest link in your team. So you really have to work together, help each other succeed and work together. So again, we really strive to stress that to our students that it's up to you and your teammates to help this animal survive and you have to work together. So.
It's a partnership. I like
yes.
that. So what are some of your professional achievements and which one are you most proud of?
I've written a book chapter, which I'm very proud of. I wrote in a clinical anatomy and physiology for veterinary technicians. I wrote a chapter on digestion. I also recently just wrote a revised chapter for the blood and hemostasis chapter, and that I'm very proud of. I'm also very proud. I've been very involved in the digital story learning community at Mercy. I've presented at international conferences. I've been to Greece. I've been to Turkey. I've been to presented sort of the art of using storytelling in science. I have my students in my anatomy class actually create a digital story about how an exotic animal uses their anatomy and their environment. And they do it usually from the animal's perspective. I love combining that art and creativity with that science. And I love giving that challenge to my students to do something creative in, again, a science-based sort of science can sometimes be more you know, rigid in terms of things, but giving them that, adding that creativity piece, I think really helps students to grow and see things from different aspects. And for the anatomy project, it really helped them to see how animals use their anatomy, to think about why does an elephant have those big ears? Because they have to release heat, like there's a reason for it. So I really wanted them to think about sort of what anatomical features animals have and why. Because, again, I think we don't sometimes think about, why do they have that long trunk? Like, why is that? You know, there are reasons for things, and sometimes there's not. But, again, a lot of times there is. Learning about how the body works, how different parts work together, again, fascinates me. So I love physiology. Again, I love clinical pathology. Again, it's like a puzzle, and you have to figure out what's wrong to help them. So,
Rubik's Cube of the animal kingdom.
Yes. And they don't talk. They don't come in and go, I hurt here.
Yeah.
You know, and you really have to. And usually they're trying really hard to make it look like everything's okay. It's funny. Often owners will come in and be like, no, he really was doing this at home. And now he's not. And they really sort of put on a good face when they come to the doctor. And they're like, no, don't mind me. I feel fine. So you really have to use your observational skills. You have to look at them. You have to see that, like, their head bobs when they put their foot down. Or, you know, that they're slightly leaning in a direction. Their head is just tilted just a little off that you're like, So you really have to use your observational skills. And you have to, again, put all the pieces together. They don't come in with I have this disease on my chest. So veterinary medicine can be hard. And there's also lots of ups and downs. The animals are sick. They're hurt. You know, I think sometimes people think veterinary medicine is playing with puppies and kittens. And while we do work with puppies and kittens, and we do play with them sometimes, it's really more about figuring out, again, how to help them and get them through a crisis. And also helping prepare them so they don't get in a crisis. So preventative health and, figuring out what went wrong in their normal physiology. That's why I love teaching physiology, because you really can't understand when things go wrong until you first understand how they're supposed to work. And when you understand how they're supposed to work, it makes sense when the thing, so that's what's happening. That's what's going wrong. And then once you know how things go wrong, then you know, all right, certain medications can prevent that or help that or treat that or fix that problem. So I love the way veterinary medicine builds on each other. And again, I love watching students come to that realization as they go through the program. They grow. And then by the time they come out at the end, they're amazing professionals. And I just love that about our profession.
I was going to say earlier, I know, like, animals can't talk. I know it's 10 times harder to figure out, like, oh, yeah, your stomach hurts? Tell me a little more about that. They can't.
No, they don't. And they usually try and pretend their stomach doesn't hurt.
Yeah. So they're like, I'll just take the belly rubs.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah. So I always say, you know, human medicine, they only have to deal with one species. We really have to. I mean, really, whatever walks, slithers, runs into your door, you know, it could be a snake. It could be a cow. It could be a horse. It could be a turtle, it could be anything. So you really have to be flexible and sort of think of it more broadly and really have knowledge about all those different things. And when you don't know something, know where to look and get that information and how to, species is different. You wouldn't do the same thing for a horse that you would do for a reptile necessarily. And I think that's one of the things I always try and instill in my students, that first and foremost, know what species you're dealing with, because, like, in human, it's human. But in veterinary medicine, it's very different if you're treating a horse from treating a turtle. And if you don't sort of recognize that they're different and how they're different and what you have to do differently, then you might struggle. So, again, seeing that difference is important.
Earlier, you were talking about how you had some chapters published. Do you think you're going to write any of your own books anytime soon?
I actually have thought about that. I think finding time, unfortunately, is always the drawback. I have lots of plans of paintings and books and chapters and articles and things. But I think finding the time to sit down and write. I am hoping to write an article this next year with a colleague of mine the veterinary community has several journals that we've published at before. We're planning or hoping to sort of do that in the near future. I also really like presenting at conferences, so I love to travel. We also have a global experience course that we do where we take students abroad. And unfortunately, we've been sort of grounded for the past 2 years because of COVID, but we are hoping in the future, next semester, to start that up again. We've been to Costa Rica. We've been to Belize. We took students to the jungle in Peru. It's an amazing experience. The students get so much out of it, and it's fun. So we go do some crazy things with some crazy different kinds of animals. Again, really, we provided vet care to cats and dogs in villages that have never seen a vet. And it's amazing when the students come and they do everything. From, you know, they treat in, people from all over bring their pets in. They walk for miles to bring their pets in. And we provide basic veterinary care to them and do some spay and neuters. It's just such a rewarding experience. We get to meet different kinds of people and different cultures, and students get to get out of their comfort zone. A lot of our students are sort of first generation and haven't really even left New York. And for them to get the opportunity to go to Peru and be, I mean, it took us 3 days to get to the middle of the Peruvian jungle. We had to take 3 planes, we had to take a car and then a bus and a boat. By the time we got there, we were like, oh my God. But it was an amazing experience. I would totally do it all over again. Taking students to places like that and helping people in different circumstances. I think it also teaches the students, you know, we rely in the United States, we're very privileged to have a lot of different equipment, tests and things, but they don't have that in other places of the world. And you have to rely on, I mean, we didn't even have a laryngoscope when we were in Belize, and we were trying to get a fish hook out of a turtle's mouth, and we're there with a flashlight trying to get it out. And so you really have to be resourceful and think outside the box and use what you got, because you don't always have the fancy equipment, and you have to be able to feel for a pulse and hear the heartbeat and not rely on a machine to tell you that that animal is doing okay.
Being a little more hands-on.
Yeah. And it teaches students, again, I always feel like instruments are great, equipment is great, but always, always make sure you check your patient, because a test lie, and sometimes, again, your patient could be in trouble if you don't assess them and make sure they're doing well by really feeling them and listening and hearing and feeling their pulses. Again, you could miss something. So,
very beautiful. I love that. Giving them a different sense of what it's like in other places, just in case they do want to go there and start doing veterinarian work. I like that. Are there any businesses or organizations that you're currently participating in right now?
Not so much businesses, no. Again, I work a lot with the club to help students get some of these extracurricular things. Again, I feel school should be more than just what's in the classroom. I think some of the things that you learn from doing some of these outside activities, again, are life-changing. We took students to the Mystic Aquarium and slept under the shark tank. And it was amazing. We were the only ones in the aquarium. It was so much fun. I mean, I had a blast. And my students really enjoyed it as well. So, again, taking them to those different places and letting them see different things and experience different things gives me joy. And I love watching them get excited about going to some place and seeing some cool animal and experiencing and doing things. And I want to encourage students, like, if you get an opportunity, take it. Like, do as much as you can. You know, don't sit on the sidelines and just watch. Get involved. Try something. Go places. Do things. When an opportunity is there, you need to grab it, because you never know where an opportunity will take you, and you never know what it's going to lead to.
I like that. You got to actually suit with the fishes.
Oh, we did.
So how did you get to know all the people that you know now? Do you have any specific networking strategies?
Actually, what I just said is getting involved. I think sometimes they have a lot going on. They're working, they're doing jobs. You really need to make time to go to that extra lecture or go to that extra, you know, meeting or join that club or be involved in something or, you know, volunteer or be a docent or, you know, work at a shelter or do something. So I think, again, there's more to learn than just in the classroom. we really have to take those opportunities. And if some opportunity is not coming, then make your own opportunity. There's nothing that says you can't go and, like, start something and do something and get a movement going. So I really want to encourage students to sort of not sit on the sidelines and watch everybody else do something. Get in there and do something. So.
Get involved, everybody. Do you have any other tips or recommendations for our current undergrad students here at Mercy?
I think for current undergrad students, I know students nowadays juggle a lot of things. They have a lot of things going on. And I think one of the things that they need to work on developing is their time management skills, because you're always going to have a lot to do, whether it's, you know, when you're in school or when you're out of school and you have kids and your husband or wife or something. There's always a lot to do. So you really have to think about how you manage your time and how you take care of yourself. Work is good, but play is also good as well. You need to be kind to yourself. You are your own best friend. Don't beat yourself up. Somebody else can do that. You need to be your cheerleader, and you need to be cheering yourself on and, again, taking care of yourself. So make sure you get that rest. Make sure you go out with friends. Make sure you spend time with family. So, again, all of that is important. Do your work, but, again, balance it with life. Don't focus on one or the other. Really embrace both.
You heard it here first, guys. Professor said self-care. So thank you so much for being our honored guest today. And thank you, Mavs, for listening in today's episode with Sabrina Timperman. Once again, this is your host, Jasmine C. Gordon. And thanks for listening. See you next week.